Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Jonathan Jones is with SI and Monday Morning Quarterback, great national NFL writer. How you doing, Jonathan? Thanks for coming on the bench.
Hey, for sure. I appreciate you having me on again.
So, what did you think? I got to tell you, two things stunned me yesterday. One was the Bills, and I actually had the Bills and the points. I can't lay that kind of wood in a football game in the NFL. And then I got burned on the Lions. I was really surprised, to be honest with you, when I watched the Patriots, because they looked so terrible that I didn't even recognize them. At least in the Jacksonville game, they looked bad. But this game, they looked terrible.
Yeah, the Pats just looked flat, right? Like, they looked like they had no energy. It looked like they didn't want to play. You know, this offense, clearly Brady just doesn't have enough weapons. If they're going to double Gronk, he has to be able to throw it to someone else. And that's why I was surprised that Josh Gordon was inactive. Because if nothing else, you know, have him out there on the field for 10 to 12 snaps. You know, at least make the defense account for him. You know, you throw his way one time. If it's an incompletion, so what? At least you've shown the threat of Josh Gordon on the field. And so when the Detroit Lions came out there on the field and they saw, all right, we got Gronk, so we're going to dump Philip Dorsett and Chris Hogan. Yeah, that's not going to be a problem for us. Cordarrelle Patterson, no issue there. So I wasn't surprised necessarily by the end result, the Lions winning, but how they won and how they beat the Patriots was definitely surprising.
What did you think of Josh Allen's performance in Minneapolis for the Bills?
Yeah, you know, he's such a boom or bust guy. That's what we were all saying back in the spring, right? And we've seen the bust. We saw it in the preseason against the Bengals. We saw some boom in the preseason, and we saw, of course, the bust last week. And so, you know, I don't know if he's going to continue to be hot and cold throughout his career. I'm concerned and have always been concerned with a guy who did not play up to competition when he was playing at a small school, who turned the ball over against both good and bad competition at his small school. And I don't know if that will ever necessarily get fixed. It's almost like a wide receiver who has a lot of drops in college. Well, he's going to continue to drop the ball in the NFL. If you turn the ball over a lot in college, it's like Josh Allen did, especially against bad competition. I think you're going to keep doing it in the NFL. So to be determined on Josh Allen. But, hey, there was his boom game so far.
Jonathan Jones with Monday Morning Quarterback. Do you think the – tell me what you think Le'Veon Bell is worth in a trade.
Whew. I mean, there'd have to be so much on background before you do that, right? Because you could rent him, I guess, but still, Le'Veon Bell is all about Le'Veon Bell and his future potential earnings. And so if you want him on the field right away, you have to somehow, and I don't even know if they can, engineer some kind of sign and trade, you know, under the franchise tag. I'm not entirely sure you can do that right now. So a team would have to take him on. Understanding that they may not get him until week 10 or 11 of the NFL season. And then there's also the possibility that he said that he's going to sit out the rest of the season, the entire season. I don't know if that's true or not, but that is a possibility. So I think there's too much risk involved if you're going to trade for Le'Veon.
You wonder if they can do what Mac did, though. Like, if you come here, we'll give you a deal. You can sign that deal and walk away from Oakland and do that. And then real quickly, that's what he did. Like, I don't think the guy – necessarily didn't want to play for the Raiders. I just think that they didn't want to give him what he wanted, so the Bears did, and then he did it. I think that if Bell got what he wanted and they actually said, this is what we'll give you if you come here in a deal, and they could pull it off, I actually think that it might work. All this other talk about fifth rounders and third rounders is making no sense to me. Jimmy G's injury, how much do you think that just destroyed their season? Or do you think that they can fix the problem?
No, I think it destroyed their season. I mean, this was a team that was a quarterback away. When you hire a head coach like Kyle Shanahan, you know that you have to have a quarterback that Shanahan knows and trusts and believes in. They clearly did not have that last year until they traded for Jimmy G. They went into this season. It's almost Jimmy G or bust. Not in the same sense for Green Bay that Aaron Rodgers or bust, but that, you know, Shanahan has to have his guy. And so, yeah, could they go out there and trade for a non-concussed Tyrod Taylor and maybe pick up, you know, five more wins this season? Sure, they could do that. But as far as getting to the playoffs, I don't see how they do it with any guy, Sam Bradford, you know, Tyrod Taylor. If the Saints want to somehow part with Teddy Bridgewater, if they just traded for him, it's not going to happen.
So do you think Clay Matthews is right that the NFL is going soft? Are you doing any pieces on how this new rule is almost laughable now in the NFL, like watching these games?
You know, a couple of my colleagues have certainly touched on this. It's the talk of the NFL, right? We've already had a couple already tonight in the game. I think the one on Gerald McCoy was a little bit late on Ben Roethlisberger, so I understood that one. The other one was really bad. And so, yeah, the rule is just written so poorly. You know, I go back to May at the owners' meeting when they introduced this new helmet rule. We're all like, ooh, there's no way this is going to work out. And then in the preseason, they're calling every single incidental contact. And so they finally brought it back. The NFL swore up and down. They weren't changing the rule. But they did change the rule because the helmet rule has not really been a thing for the first 3 weeks of the season. What has been a thing has been this body weight rule on quarterbacks. And it's absolutely ridiculous. We saw in Miami, William Hayes just tore his ACL because he was trying not to put his body weight on the quarterback. Clay Matthews, he's had three roughing calls through three games. The last two have been terrible. And so they have to fix this rule. It's not that the refs are you know, not interpreting the rule correctly. They are. It's just the fact that the rule is written so that if you tackle someone in tackle football, it's a flag.
Do you think that the Seahawks are going to trade Earl Thomas to the Cowboys? Is the worst kept secret going in the NFL is that they've been talking about this now for, I don't know, 3 weeks. I want to jump off a building. I've waited so long for this to happen.
They have to, because they know, you know, first of all, he's a malcontent at practice, and he has every right to be. You know, you're not going to get any compensation for him after the season if you wait. And so, you know, I understand that you want to try to keep everyone happy, and you don't want, and especially the organization doesn't want to show one player is not going to dictate what we do. But it's gotten to the point where if he's taking out plays during practice, if he's going to publicly call you out after a game that he just, you know, helped you win, and then if you're looking at 2019 and saying, well, he's not going to be with us in 2019 and we're not going to get anything for him, you have to start making a move before the trade deadline.
Are there Jonathan Jones, a Monday Morning Quarterback, great stuff tonight. Are you in the belief that the Rams are going to have a problem here with Peters and Tlaib now, at the very least for Thursday, a problem?
Yeah, certainly on Thursday a problem, but the way that Jared Goff is playing right now in this offense, I think that they can still outshoot anyone in the NFL right now. Maybe not Patrick Mahomes, but they can outshoot just about everybody in the NFL right now. So they'll be okay without Peters or Tlaib for a little bit because the offense will get them through.
Ryan Tannehill, 10 of his last 11 starts, and I know he was injured, but he actually was winning when he got injured, and now he's winning again and completing 70% of his passes in this stretch. I'm not into buying into all of what he was doing before he got injured, but he was playing well. But realistically, what he's done this year is what I'm interested in. Do you think he's got a shot at Gillette against this team that's dropped two in a row?
It's going to be tough. Like, Tannehill's always been really tough to figure out. I remember I was rooting for him in 2014 saying, you know what, this guy is not nearly as bad as a lot of people think, and no one was really paying attention to the Dolphins. Then he gets banged up again, then he plays poorly. Then, now he's back to playing really well. And so he's a tough guy to figure out. All that said, though, we really can't imagine the New England Patriots dropping three straight. Is this the year that the Patriots are just actually bad? I mean, it does have to happen at some point. We can't imagine it happens with both Tom Brady and Bill Belichick at the helm. But you have to think that they're going to right this ship and get an AFC East win against a team that they know they can beat.
Do you believe that that Aaron Rodgers will be able to hold up? And now that they've lost Mo Wilkerson, are there problems just beginning in Green Bay?
Yeah, it's going to be tough. You'd love to talk to the doctors around Green Bay to figure out, like, does this injury get better if
Rodgers keeps playing. But, of course, what we have seen over the last couple of years is you can't sit Rodgers for 4, 5, 6 weeks and expect to win football games. Like I mentioned earlier, this team is built only based on the premise that Aaron Rodgers is at least at 60% as your quarterback. And so they can't sit him. He has to play through this. If he can hold up 16 games and that rolls into 19 games, it's going to be pretty impressive.
Do you think the Raiders are getting better, even though they have been losing? Are you seeing anything at all that makes you think they're getting close?
No, no, I'm not. I've never really been big on Derek Carr. He's about dead last in every offense, passing statistics that there is and always has been in his career. And John Gruden really hasn't done anything to inspire confidence. Meanwhile, Khalil Mack has better defensive stats, at least sacks-wise, than the entire Oakland Raiders defense combined.
Were you surprised that the Cardinals put Josh Rosen in with a couple minutes left in that game, like 3-4 minutes left in the game, instead of, like, you know, at a like more opportune time or something? Like, that pressure of that last possession to me was a little bit overwhelming.
Yeah, it was a lot. And I guess Steve Wilson, that's a guy that I know fairly well, I assume that he believes in Josh Rosen's confidence. And clearly he's a very confident young man, as we saw during the pre-draft process. All that said, though, you have to believe that the guy that you put out there is going to win you the game. And it was obvious by watching that game that Sam Bradford could not win you that game. So you go with Josh Rosen, and if he goes in there and he runs the 4-minute offense and they get that win over the Chicago Bears, you know, just like what we saw with Baker Mayfield in Cleveland on a smaller level, of course, forgetting the history there, that's going to launch Josh Rosen's career. And so I understand it to a point. It's obviously unsettling that it didn't work out for him, but I don't think it's going to harm Josh Rosen's confidence much moving forward.
So you were at the Carolina game. How did you think those teams looked? Bengals had looked great going into that game. I didn't think they looked great yesterday, but Cam at home and obviously McCaffrey, Funchess, I thought had a big game.
Yeah, I got to see what this Bengals team is going to look like with a healthy Joe Mixon. I felt that was – and, you know, of course, A.J. Green went out early in the second half.
Right.
But as far as the Panthers go, yeah, I'll tell you what, everyone in the Panthers organization is absolutely loving Cam Newton right now. I've heard some whispers. It's just 3 games in, but he is back to 2015 MVP form, Cam Newton. And then when you saw the Christian McCaffrey, he's a guy that on tape you saw he could run between the tackles. No one really wanted to believe it. And then he showed it yesterday, almost racking up 200 yards on the ground.
You're awesome. I hope everything's going great at the MMQB after obviously Pete went on his own doing his other thing. I'm rooting for you guys. Great job, as always, on the show. I always love having you on. Great stuff. Killer. And I hope keep up the good job over there. I hope you guys keep rocking it, SI. And I know that it's for sale, all this other craziness. I just hope you guys keep doing your thing, man.
Yeah, I appreciate it, and I hope whoever buys this happens to like me, but we'll keep doing this every now and then. How about that?
Are you guys believing that Tony Robbins and Dan Gilbert will own that magazine?
I don't know what to believe, but whoever buys it, I look forward to being their biggest fan.
Listen, that was like the smartest answer I think I've heard since the last smart answer I heard by someone at corporate level. But that was pretty strong. That was like a Belichick answer. Like you gave me nothing, but you still kind of answered it, which was pretty awesome.
That's right.
Hey, good stuff tonight, Jonathan. Thanks for coming on the bench.
Hey, appreciate you.
All right, Jonathan Jones, SI, Monday Morning Quarterback.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with 3 rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic? And conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai. There's joy in every journey.